Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for 2 more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, Sue was just commenting on how we love the long days. The first day of summer is still a few weeks away, and I kind of told the gang, like, the other night, I think it might have been Friday. I don't know, maybe it was Saturday. I played pickleball, and I'm old. I'm like, I'm kind of tired, and it was still a little daylight out. I mean, it was probably 9 o'clock, but still. You've got a little light until after 9, don't you, at this time of year?
Yeah, for sure. I was at a soccer game last night, and it was over, like, at 8:15 or so. It's like, I felt like it should be dark.
Right.
You know?
I know.
It's like, well, I'm done.
But don't complain about that.
Oh, no.
Which soccer game did you go to?
Oh, nephews.
Okay.
It was a, you know, intramural sort of co-ed.
It's very dedicated of you as an uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's good. David Strom is back with us from hotair.com. It's been a bit since we visited with Mr. Strom. I'm looking forward to it. How are you, David? Hope all is well. Is there still snow on the ground in Minneapolis?
No, we've had weather very similar to yours. I was listening to it, and it's like, that could be Minneapolis's forecast.
We've had a great spring. We really have. A lot of times what happens this time of year here in St. Louis is May kicks in and we go right to the 90s and the AC and all that. We've had really, I think, Sue, we've had a great spring, haven't we?
We actually had a spring, which is awesome.
Exactly. That's the point to be made. But I know you guys up in, one of the things I know about Minneapolis is once the weather does get nice, you guys take advantage of the nice weather with golf and all kinds of activities up there. So it is beautiful. It's just, we had this story that Sue gave on this segment that we do Sue's News. And which cities had a snow on this date in history?
It was Buffalo and somewhere else in New York State and somewhere in Ohio, like Cleveland.
Yeah, on this day in history. And then I didn't mention this in the last hour, so my first day in Milwaukee was June 1st, 1997. So it's 29 years ago today. And what I remember, David, and I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. I wasn't risk averse to cold, but on June 1st, the low temperature in the morning, because I did the morning show, so I got there at 4 in the morning, it was 40 degrees. June 1st, 40 degrees. That should have been my first signal that things weren't going to go well weather-wise. And I finally got sick of and it wasn't, I always say this, you might say this about Minneapolis. It was never the winters that drove me crazy up there. It was the springs because I was right by the lake and it just never would warm up enough, you know?
Oh, and everything was dirty because all the dirt that has accumulated on the snow as it melts, it just, it's just awful. I mean, late spring is great. Early spring is snow melt, mold, because mold grows under the snow as it melts. And then all the sand and dirt that was put down during the winter.
Yeah,
it gets disgusting.
Gross. Well, let's talk about some issues. Look, things are relatively quiet in your neck of the woods, aren't they? After all the excitement from January and February, you don't really have a lot going on up there. I know you just celebrated the George Floyd anniversary, so that was a big deal.
Yes, instead of Memorial Day. In fact, our right. governor went to the George Floyd party. It was basically he was dancing there, but he skipped out on Memorial Day at Fort Snelling. That's, I mean, it was
so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing. It really is. But that's what we've kind of come to know about Jacob Frey and all the things that happen up there. All right, so I had I have Dwayne Patterson on a regular basis. I know that speaks to my desperation, David, here in St. Louis. No, I love Dwayne. He's great. He's become a yep. good friend. But he, we talked last week a bit about Grant Plattner. I know that Dwayne wrote a piece for Hot Air on Grant Plattner. He basically told me he's pretty convinced that in the end, Plattner's not going to win this seat. But, you know, your column was, wait, I'm not so sure, even though all this stuff and they still have the Oppo file that's getting released, you're not so sure that he's done. Look, he's got a pretty big lead on the Democrat side and even over Janet Mills if she would get back in the race, because that's being talked about, I think, at this point, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Grant Plattner, fiasco up there, you know, looking at it from the outside, is really all about the internal battles within the Democratic Party. And I like to say it's the Bolsheviks versus the Mensheviks. And, you know, the Mensheviks, the establishment, basically they view the Democratic Party as an organized crime institution where they're there to skim off the top, you know, funnel money through NGOs and push their agenda that way. Whereas the Bolsheviks are, you know, basically the rising communist DSA folks. And Grant Plattner is their guy, the Mensheviks, the Chuck Schumer types, went and tried to get Janet Mills, and that didn't work out real well. And I think what's happening here is you've got the establishment doing an oppo dump now, hoping they can drive Plattner out
yeah,
of the race.
Right. I think that's certainly what's happening, or they're trying. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work.
I don't think it's going to work. And, you know, it's the Democrats, because the Republicans would wait until he was locked in as a candidate.
Yes, you know politics. That's exactly right. And these consultants, they have big files and they have things that they will release and maybe that they hold back, and they kind of see, they gauge it. They have to figure it out. And there's a bit of a, I don't know if you want to call it an art or a science to the consultants in some of the Oppo files, for sure. Let's talk about Iran, because I had Tim Carney on earlier from the Washington Examiner. He's very concerned and expressed some concerns in a piece that he wrote about the politics of all this and where it might be taking us. The president today said this. Iran, this was on Truth Social, of course. Iran really wants to make a deal, and it will be a good one for the USA and those that are with us. But don't the Democrats and various seemingly unpatriotic Republicans understand that it is much tougher for me to properly do my job and negotiate when political hacks keep negatively chirping at levels I've never seen before over and over and over again, that I should move faster, move slower, or go to war, or not go to war, or whatever. Just sit back and relax. It will all work out well in the end. It always does, President DJT. So he's basically saying, hey, relax, be patient. We got it covered. I don't know if all the Republicans are taking or heeding that advice right now, David.
No, I've backed Donald Trump on this from the very beginning until about 2-3 weeks ago, where I started losing faith. I think President Trump, has reasons to be concerned about reigniting the war. But I am now inclined to believe, particularly after he pressured Netanyahu to at least put in a partial ceasefire in Lebanon, that he is chasing the deal. He's worried that Iran is going to go with what amounts to a nuclear option if the war restarts. And it's not an actual nuclear bomb. They don't have one. But basically devastating all the oil infrastructure in the Gulf countries. And the intelligence seems to suggest that they have enough ballistic missiles to retain a deterrent. So I have become skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Justifiably so.
Yeah. And so I've become a chirper, and I wrote a piece. It was a VIP piece at Hot Air. And my readers were about half split. Some saying, yeah, he should never have ceased fire. He should have just pressed to the very end. And the others are calling us panickins. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to be, you know, the guy that goes on TV and says Joe Biden is sharp as a tack. You know, the Republican version of it. You know,
there's things happening here that I'm very confused about. Look, you had in your piece, you put a tweet in here from someone that I follow, which is at Bonchi Red State, saying Iran has concluded that Trump simply will not back up his repeated threats and red lines. So they just keep adding provisions and stalling. They don't want a deal because they see the long-term realignment of power as more valuable. That reality won't be wished away. And I kind of agree with that. And that's where I'm wondering. Now, look, I understand the other thing that I think is certainly something that would be in the administration's favor. I think that this economic blockade is really, really inflicting pain. So I think the hope is still that that pain is going to result in a better deal. But man, this is going to get dragged out. The president seemingly is saying he's not worried about the midterms at this point. He wants to do the right thing. And the right thing is making sure that this regime does not have a nuclear weapon. But I think we're kind of owed a little bit of a path here as American taxpayers.
Well, yeah, 100%. And I will tell you that I was very skeptical of the ceasefire at the very beginning. But I assumed that they had, well, just a better strategy. I mean, I think the economic blockade, is putting an enormous amount of pressure on Iran. But they look and they... Their timeline is basically how long will it take for Trump to relent?
Yeah.
Trump has three or four timelines that he has to look at. You know, he's got just sort of the general American support, you know, which is already very weak and was very weak from the very beginning. The second is his MAGA support, which, you know, I mean, just frankly, you know, he admitted as much about the panickins and, you know, he's saying that this makes it harder. But, you know, you can't drive people's doubt away just by saying, trust me. You have to show them. I mean, he's made so many threats that he hasn't followed through that, you know, people are looking at, well, you probably don't mean it.
Yeah, that's the problem. He usually follows through on the threats. I'm really surprised that there hasn't been more, you know, ramp up of the military action. But he says be patient. He knows what he's doing. Let's talk a little bit. David Stromp from hotair.com is here about your planned move or perhaps not moving to Canada, because I'm kind of with you here. You wrote a column that said, if James Tallarico wins, I'm moving to Canada. I think there's very little risk here that he's going to be the next senator from Texas. However, if you believe the conventional wisdom, the challenge is a little tougher because Cornyn would have won, if you believe the experts, easier over Tallarico than Ken Paxton. So what do you think about that?
I don't see the evidence. I mean, you know, the guy got impeached and won re-election. You know, the establishment hates him. But, you know, if you look at all the things that they've thrown at him, you know, it's like, well, you know, he's in the middle of a divorce. And, you know, really? That's what you've got? I mean, they really don't have a lot on him. And Tallarico is just insane. So
to put it mildly, right?
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the results, I mean, he just beat Cornyn. I mean, he beat him like a drum. I mean, Cornyn just, you know, if you say he's like the most electable guy, an incumbent comes in and he gets, what was it, about 30%? You know, it's clear that his electability was oversold. So, no, I think that Tallarico, of all the places where the Democrats are looking for a pickup, he is by far the least likely.
I would agree. But you had, even in your piece, there was a poll that came out. I don't know what this poll is, public policy polling, that shows Tallarico with a 7-point lead over Paxton.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think any poll right now, you know, I think that's driven mainly by the fact that you've got a very dissatisfied group of people out there, you know, generically in terms of how they feel about Republicans. They're ticked off by, you know, what's the economic consequences of the war and the fact that Trump, in their view, doesn't seem to be sharing their top concerns. And so, you know, but when it becomes an election between Paxson and Tallarico, Tallarico is just a fruitcake. I mean, just an absolute, you know, insane guy. And the more you hear about him, you know, just seeing the things that he said, he's just way too out of step.
I think a lot of us knew this to begin with, you know, when this all started with the Jimmy Kimmel thing, right? And, you know, the deeper you look, it's just so hard for me to believe. And I know that, you know, Ken Paxson put a real quick ad out last week that sort of is a summation of all the kooky, wacky things that he's now trying to back down on. But I don't think that's going to work with voters in Texas. David Strom, read him at hotair.com. I hope all is well. Great to have you back on this afternoon.
Hey, it was a blast.
All right, appreciate it.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. I just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for 2 more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Well, I've almost let the entire afternoon go by with not addressing Dr. Jill and her interviews from the weekend. Now, one of the things I said last week, I think we talked about this a little bit on the roundtable as we started to understand that Dr. Jill was completely lying about everything that happened a couple of summers ago, but she's got a new book that she's shilling. But you might remember one of the things that I said is it'll be very interesting to see if anyone. Now, Rita Braver did the interview that was on CBS Sunday Morning, and I'll play you some of that. But we had clips that were leaked of that last week on purpose. You know, they were doing it to promote it. I think it was pretty clear that Rita Braver did not push her.
No.
So my question would be, is anyone going to actually push Dr. Jill on this?
No.
Someone did. You are going to be shocked. But let me play what happened in case you missed some of this, because this was some of the audio that we didn't have that aired yesterday, talking about, like, even the moment when Joe finally gets out of it and, you know, calls Kamala.
So he decided that it was he was going to drop out.
That's right.
It was Sunday, July 21st, 2024. Mm-hmm. Before your husband made the announcement, he called Vice President Harris.
Yes.
To tell her what he had decided. And you said almost as soon as he gave her the news, she demanded that he endorse her right away. Mm-hmm. And he, did you think something was off about that?
I'm sure she thought about it. You know, it wasn't like a call out of the blue. I'm sure with everything happening at that time, it had to cross her mind. So,
yeah, the pressure was there. You know, the debate happens, the Clooney piece, et cetera. So you kind of had to expect if you're Kamala Harris. But then wouldn't you also think, I think that's kind of a reasonable ask of the vice president, right? A little bit more with Rita Braver, who, by the way, sounds a lot like Dr. Jill.
You said it was back and forth because she wanted him to endorse her at the same time he announced that he was dropping out, and he wanted to just make the announcement of the dropout first, right?
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
You said you even walked out of the room because...
Yeah, so what's interesting here is, like, you're going to hear the difference here. Rita Braver is not asking her questions.
No.
She's feeding her lines from her book and saying, expand on these. This is not a good interview, which is probably why she wanted to do this interview with Rita Braver, because she knew she wouldn't be pressed.
Got too tense, maybe?
Well, it was just, I'm telling you, it was so hard. I mean, this is what Joe had worked for all his life. He loved being a statesman. He loved the job of helping the American people, and to give it up. I mean, Rita, he did it for over 50 years of his life. That's a long time. And so at some point, when all of this is going on, it gets a little overwhelming. And yes, I had to walk out.
I mean, I can see that from a human standpoint, that it would be overwhelming. But let's talk about what really happened, because the debate ends that one night in June. We were talking about last week. We were at that listener party at Dave and Buster's, and, you know, Dr. Jill pumps him up right away.
You did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts.
Now, what I said last week is
patronizing.
But you know what? Look,
good
it's a spouse. What are you going to say?
Kid.
But it was embarrassing,
right?
So she's asked about this.
2 weeks after that.
Now, wait, this is where, okay, let me tell you. This is Craig Melvin. Craig Melvin's NBC. Like, he's on the Today Show, right? And he asks some tough questions here. He does it, I think, in a relatively non-confrontational way, but he does ask important questions.
Days and weeks after that, you continued to insist that the president was fine. How do you square thinking that he may have had a stroke with what you were saying in the days and weeks after? How do you square those?
Well, look, Craig, look at it from my point of view. So I'm watching, just like everybody else was, scared to death, like, what is going on? He gets off the stage. I see he appears to be okay. He says to me, Jill, I really, in other words, messed up, didn't I? And I said, yes, you did. And so we get off, and I know we're going into another event, or we have two more to do. And my mind is racing. What do I say to him? What do I say to him? I'm his wife. I've got to lift him up.
She focuses on that. Now, look, I'm going to say, I will give Dr. Even though I don't really like Dr. Jill, I'll give Dr. Jill a little grace on that, because in the moment, but it didn't stop after that.
Exactly. That's what his question is.
A loving, caring spouse, and I don't know if this would have said, Joe, it's time to go, dude. You're ruining your legacy. You have health issues that need to be addressed. I know you've had this career, but it's time to go. But the family did exactly the opposite, we know.
Yes.
Especially Hunter Biden, by the way.
There's
exactly
no
the opposite.
So we go to the next event, and I'm thinking, what do I say that will lift him up? That is true. I want to say the things that are true. And so I said, you know, you answered every question. My mind's racing. You know,
that's a pretty low bar.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, I had to sort of lift him up. I mean, I'm his wife. I'm not going to get out on the stage there and say, Joe, you really screwed that up. I mean, we have all our supporters there. So, you know, that was my that's who we are. I mean, as I had to support him, I couldn't come out and, I mean, really publicly say, Joe, you did a terrible job in that debate?
That's right. Now he follows up because that's not what we're asking, right? I think that's perfectly understandable what happened that night.
You write that that was essentially sort of a one-off.
Yes.
That this is not who he had become.
Why?
Special Counsel Robert Hur, as you probably know, he described the former president, quote, as an elderly man with a poor memory. George Clooney, the actor, said at a private fundraiser before the debate, quote, yeah. Biden was the same man we saw that we all witnessed on that debate stage. Even his former chief of staff said that his memory had worsened over the course of his presidency.
He aged. He did. He got older. And we all saw him aging. There were the words that he would forget. But, you know, we were all aging.
Yeah, so she laughs it off.
What does that have to do with anything?
It doesn't have anything.
Nothing.
Look, yeah, he was aging, but he was aging rapidly, and he was aging to the point where he was not capable of doing the job.
Right.
And people were covering this up. Everyone from Dr. Jill to his chief of staff to Karine Jean-Pierre, who still, I mean, she gets so off the hook. She writes this book that I don't think really sold at all, but her name's never even mentioned in all the lies that she was, you know, participating in. So I think there's one more cut here.
You wrote something. This is quite revealing in the book, and I want to put an excerpt on the screen.
Okay.
You write, because you questioned some of your decision making, it seems, in the book. Had he grown too old for the job and I hadn't noticed? I didn't think so, but could I be objective enough to be sure? The doctors assured us that he was healthy and able. In hindsight, were you able to be impartial?
Well, you know, the doctors did assure us. I mean, he had an exam every year, a health exam like every president does. The doctors assured us he was, you know, he was healthy. And I saw him doing the job every single day. Every single day he got up, he went into the office, he did the job, he passed bipartisan legislation. You know, he worked, and I saw him work hours into the night. So I, you know, yes, did I see him, you know, slowing down a little bit when he got tired? Did he stutter a little bit at night? Yeah, sure. But he was still doing the job, and he was doing a good job.
No, he wasn't doing a good job.
And she's going to therefore say, she's going to say, yeah, here's why I worried about him. But then, yeah, I think he could do it 4 more years. And how dare you think he can't? Give me a break.
Yeah, look, Craig Melvin only went so far, and I'll give him some credit because, you know, he asked some of the questions. We'll see what the rest of the book tour, you know, becomes, because the bigger story, someone just needs to tell her, look, Jill, it's understandable that in the aftermath of that shocking debate performance that as his spouse, you would support him.
Yes.
But that's not the story here. The story is you kept supporting when you knew that he was unable to do the job.
Yes.
Now, she says, I never saw that again.
Oh, baloney.
BS. Everybody else saw it. And by the way, some of us saw it 4 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, like we saw it, we were highlighting this, and when we would highlight this, we would be mocked, and we would be told by CNN and the New York Times and others, look, and it wasn't just 4 years ago, let's face it, that summer, before all this happened, 3 weeks before this debate performance, he was in France, wandering around, and we were told, cheap fakes, deep fakes, oh, he's just saying hi to people, and there were several things that led to a debate performance that was disastrous. That's why I'll never forget this, because the people that were in our room, conservative, loyal 97.1 FM Talk listeners,
were shocked.
No one was laughing at him.
Of course
we were
not.
Like,
it's not funny.
What in God's name is going on? And it changed everything.
Mark,
it really
and
did.
Now she wants to make money off of the. I can't even.
No, I
it's
know.
It's disgusting.
I'm with you.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at G-R-U-N-S.co.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe "I know a guy" just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Oh, it's Jungle Primary Day tomorrow in Los Angeles. Spencer Pratt challenging Mayor Karen Bass.
Well, I think for the undecided voters to understand that they have a choice to make. And that choice is a reality TV villain? Really? How did that work for us on a national level?
All right, a couple of the, obviously comparing him to Trump there, a couple of the comments from the last final days of the campaign.
I don't think he has any plans on homelessness. I think he has rhetoric that he says, like, you know, everybody's a zombie and we're just going to sweep everybody up.
Enough is enough. I'm the one with compassion. No matter what these people tell you, I don't want people dying on the street. I don't want our tax money going to needles to kill these people. I want to get them in treatment. I want to help them. We got to fight. We just can't sit back.
Spencer Pratt saying LA needs change.
I just want people to feel safe. I want families to be able to thrive in the city. A lot of people say, oh, he doesn't have any experience, but we all have the experience living in this city. We know what needs to be changed. And as a city, we will change it together.
Yeah, there's no doubt that his candidacy has drawn a lot of attention, drawn a lot of national attention, but will it be enough in the end? But we're going to talk to Brian Pink, who's going to know a little bit about this, from KNX Radio in Los Angeles, a St. Louis native. How are you, Brian, this afternoon? Let's start with that mayor's race. It's just the primary. So in this jungle primary, the top two finishers will move on to the general, unless Karen Bass or somebody gets 50+% or more, right?
Yeah, correct, Mark. And good afternoon. That's looking very unlikely because the latest polls show that this is a three-way dead heat. The top person in the polls, which right now is Bass, only getting about 28%. So just barely, not even getting that one-third threshold. So it's going to be two moving out of November. Who those two are is anybody guess right now.
All right, so tell me about Spencer Pratt, because, you know, that's obviously something that has gotten a lot of national attention. I didn't really know much about this guy until 3 weeks ago. I didn't watch The Hills. I have seen him make some interesting points, though, about, you know, what Los Angeles needs and what they need to be fixed. But it's also a Democrat stronghold in an urban area. And although this is a nonpartisan, in theory, primary, it'd be pretty hard to convince me that even if he makes it to the, you know, the general election, that he could somehow win this race. Is that a bad hot take, or what would you say about that?
Well, I'm fascinated to find out tomorrow whether there has been all along this phenomenon, and especially in the last couple of months, of the hidden Pratt voter, the ones that won't show up and tell pollsters who they're voting for, won't tell their friends who they're voting for, because there is that stigma. Now, Spencer Pratt is a registered Republican. He's running on, I suppose you could call it a conservative message vis-a-vis, you know, law and order, cleaning up the streets, if insofar as that being a conservative message. But he has been careful to distance himself from any notion that he's running as a Republican. He
Right. Notes
many times, and correctly, that this is officially a nonpartisan race. And he's been very careful also to say that, you know, many of my supporters are Democrats. They're shy about admitting that they want to support him. But, you know, they are people who want the streets clean. And he's trying to make the point that that is not a Republican or Democrat or a blue or red issue. It's, you know, a 90-10 or even a 100-to-nothing issue that people want a safer environment. So it's going to really be interesting to see how much of that translates into a vote tomorrow.
Yeah, so, you know, when it comes to the way that this goes down, a lot of the focus, you correct me if I get any of this wrong, but a lot of the focus in this campaign has been on the fire recovery and the lack of response and the mismanagement by Karen Bass in her office. That's something that really kind of vaulted Spencer Pratt to the forefront here a little bit. Did he lose a home? I can't remember the specifics.
Yes, he did. That's the entire reason why he decided to launch this campaign, is because, yes, he did lose his home in Pacific Palisades to that awful fire there. He started out as a community activist. He would, you know, take the microphone at events and call out leadership. And then, as he said, when he found out that Bass is going to eventually run unopposed, he decided to say, "Oh, why not?" and jump in. And a lot of people kind of, you know, looked at it at first saying, we've seen this kind of thing before. But then he started gaining traction, just because there was an absence of people trying to make a good case against Bass. And he did he had a great debate performance and put out some videos detailing how he would clean up the homeless problem. He addresses it as mostly a drug problem, saying many of these people need to get treatment before they get homes, because, you know, if they get a roof over their head, they're still just going to shoot up. So once people determined, when they found out that there's actually some substance here behind him just being a former reality show star, then this kind of got some forward momentum. And that's where we are today. This isn't just Karen Bass in a walk.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, so let's get to the governor's race, because, you know, arguably up until a few weeks ago, nationally, that has gotten more attention. And, you know, I used to hear Katie Porter's name quite a bit at the top of the list. I'm not so sure she fared well in the last few weeks, but you have Xavier Becerra, who might be the favorite, Tom Steyer, who I can editorialize here, you don't have to, is crazy, Katie Porter, Matt Mahan. It's, again, jungle primary. Steve Hilton's in this race. He's a Republican. What happens here?
So with Becerra, when Eric Swalwell, the now former congressman, was, you know, forced to drop out because of sexual harassment allegations, Swalwell had, up until that point, occupied kind of the safe lane for Democrats. He was sort of the least objectionable. And with him out, Becerra did jump into that lane. Now, what you say about Steyer, some people would agree with you. So he's still pretty polarizing. You know, he's a billionaire, so that doesn't quite jibe with the whole notion of being for the working person, whether that's fair or not, spending a lot of his money on his own campaign, but he might seem a little too extreme. And then the other folks like Katie Porter as well, there's some high negatives about her. So with Becerra, say what you will about him, but I think a lot of Democrats view him as a safe choice. I think there was some alarmism over the last few months that Hilton, as you mentioned, the Republican, and also the second-place Republican, Chad Bianco, were taking advantage of a splitter Democratic field and for a while looked like they could run away with the top two and shut Democrats out. Now it might be looking like the opposite. We haven't seen very much in the way of spending for Hilton, just imagining he's keeping his powder dry for November. But with the more concentrated Democratic field now, it looks like Steyer and Becerra, the vote is solidifying. and they're catching up to Hilton. And this could be a huge missed opportunity for Hilton. I think he's realizing this last minute. It might be too late. Again, this is another vote that we probably will not know the result tomorrow night. In fact, I'm betting on that this could be a drawn out.
Interesting.
A vote count. And in California, it is notoriously slow. So slow, the counting votes. So we're probably not going to have answers in the governor's race or probably the mayor's race until the end of the week, if not longer.
Yeah, because I'm looking at some of the polling here, and really some of the polling is a bit all over the board. It looks like Becerra has been, you know, trending, I think, in a positive direction. Hilton may have, I mean, if he ends up not finishing in the top two, I think you can kind of say he peaked too early. And then if Tom Steyer and Becerra are the choices, good Lord, buckle up, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, that too. If you have a two-Democrat field to move on into November, it's going to be a lot of what-ifs. Should Hilton have done more? Should he have spent more? And then also, a lot of Republicans are simply going to check out in November, and that could have a lot of downstream effects as far as participating in other elections, too. So that's another thing to look at here.
It's just an odd, you know, for those of us who have covered some of the elections recently, it's an odd time of year in our opinion to be voting. You know, in Missouri, we vote in August. So you don't have our primary until the first week of August. And then the general comes up 3 weeks later. It's weird in some of these other states, including yours, that these primaries are at this time or even having, you know, that runoff the day after a holiday last week. It's just bizarre. But I guess that's what you guys do. And the top two from each of these races will barrel towards spending hundreds of millions of dollars to win the election in November, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that we'll probably see a break.
A little summer break.
And figuring, I only have to run against this guy or this lady, so we can just concentrate on that. It could be where, you know, come back in Labor Day and then, yeah, because advertising in California, especially in L.A., is not cheap. So they've got to spend wisely here. Yeah. I mean, we're going to see a lot of them out in the community. We're going to see more of the viral ads and stuff, the stuff that's they can cheaply get out there. A lot of noise. But, yeah, you're right, Mark. It leaves, what is it, a five-month gap between now and November?
It's a long time.
A long time before we get
to it. It really is. By the way, have you started with your – this is always kind of a weird thing when I've gone out there to Los Angeles. It's been a little while in June, but you get this June gloom thing. Is that kicked in yet?
Yeah, well, I'm looking outside. I'm home right now. It's a sunny day. That's kind of the thing with the June gloom. You get the gray mornings, and it's nice and cool out. Then by about 11 a.m., it starts to break up, and it's really nice, comfy weather out there. But we have this usually for about a couple months. May gray, and then it takes on a new name, June gloom, today.
Are you following our Cardinals? They've gotten off to a pretty good start. You going to get back to St. Louis this summer?
I watched last night. I think that was a great national showcase there on Sunday Night Baseball to get that. I think Wednesday, that loss in Milwaukee was the low point. That was awful, that afternoon game. They blew it there late, and then I think that last night was the high.
It was awesome, yeah.
You know, taking a series against the Cubs is always huge, but especially now.
Albert was in the booth chiming in. I thought that was cool. Yeah, we got the Rangers in town this week. Brian, always great to have you. Let's get to a game this summer. Come back to St. Louis. We'll talk soon.
All right, we'll see you.
I think we're pretty close to knocking down a Monday edition of this show. I think it's been pretty good. We had Governor Kehoe on the show a couple hours ago. You can always use the Odyssey app or use the rewind function, go back and listen to that interview. Also, I thought Paul Morrill was really interesting today. You know, he went to this thing called CrimeCon in Vegas. It was CrimeCon 2026. And, you know, Sue, I missed that by just like 1 week. I've got George, we're going to do Tech Talk Tuesday tomorrow, and then I'm going over to ThrottleNet on Wednesday morning. I'm going to do like a little AI, you know.
Tutorial?
Yes. But I really do have to think about going to CES next year.
Oh, my gosh. If you go there and somehow get me, I don't really care.
I'll bring you back a robot or something like that. How about that?
Okay.
But no, I really, like, I'd like to be there for one of these things that we always talk about.
I go out there so much.
It would be nice to take advantage of some of this stuff. So we'll see what we can do. Let's see if we have anything set for tomorrow's show. I think it's Tech Talk Tuesday. Here's what I told Fred. Now, I often change my mind on this, but I think it's a good opportunity. There are a lot of people right now who are maybe even in our audience who would maybe vote Republican that are not for this income tax you know, phase out. We had the governor on earlier. I think I'm going to take some phone calls on that tomorrow.
That's a good idea.
We do Telephone Tuesday every once in a while because I support it, but I'm generally getting people, and these are usually people that sometimes agree with me on stuff, throwing stuff about it that they don't like. So we'll get to that and maybe take some phone calls. That's always fun. It always gets me riled up and then usually in trouble because I yell at listeners. So that's why I don't do it very often. I know, yes. I know, but it happens.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I sure hope that you were watching Good Morning America today when Michael Strahan and the gang started and kicked off the most important story. It's not like war in Iran or nothing like that, the economy, gas prices. No, it's Pride Month, and they had to kick it off with some salsa.
All right. Well, welcome back to GMA, and that was an amazing performance by Pride Salsa, helping us kick off Pride Month celebrations here at GMA, shining a light on the beauty of the LGBTQ+ community. And this morning, it's all about the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a look.
It is. Oh, yeah. There's salsa. They're salsa. Dancing together.
Not just music and dance. It's a feeling.
Let's go.
Vimal Pradeep, originally from India, fell in love with that feeling before moving to New York City, eager to create a safe space for people like him to embrace salsa out loud.
Okay. So that's like one of their lead stories. I prefer a little bit more like what they're doing in Idaho.
Hey, my name is Mark Fitzpatrick, owner of Old State Saloon in Eagle, Idaho. Our saloon has become the heterosexual headquarters. We launched Heterosexual Awesomeness Month for June. Monday is Heterosexual Male Monday, and if you're a heterosexual male and you come in here, you get a beer for free. There's no strings attached. We'll call it Beers for Breeders. Wednesdays, if you're a heterosexual couple, you get 15% off your entire bill. And on Thursdays, all day is Her Hetero Happy Hour. So heterosexual awesomeness is basically an opportunity to celebrate God's design for man and woman and that sexual attraction between them. I think that this country is ready to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough.
They actually, I'm sorry, I have to laugh. Mayor Spencer, we have no other issues in this. They had a pride flag raising ceremony this morning at City Hall. Are you kidding me? That's what they do? Oh my God. It's so embarrassing. But I'm going to raise the heterosexual flag at my home tonight in my own special ceremony. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Odyssey celebrates back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.